Welcome to the home for Texas political and news analysis without an out-of-state corporate management muzzle. It's Pratt on Texas with Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, Governor Abbott puffs out the chest again on the border. But sadly, as so many times before, it's all show. Oh, not only show, theater, but increased expense to us to accomplish very little except maybe increased polling numbers with the uninformed on the right. I'm not sure. Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable turnkey drug and alcohol testing programs for institutions and businesses and truckers and fleet owners. They're your best friend in compliance with DOT testing regs. They'll be your third-party administrator. They'll take care of that clearinghouse you have to have now for your drivers. Reach the best in compliance at AlliedCompliance.com. We've got the Baker Hughes oil and gas rotary rig count report out and more in that stack. The assassination of former Japanese Prime Minister Abe, I want to talk about that. It's very important. And we've got much more, including the Texas juvenile prisons not taking any more prisoners because they're so short-staffed. Got a lot in the stack on this Friday, the 8th of July in the year of our Lord, 2022. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. That's right. You can just load them up, listen to them stream live, or you can download them and just listen to them when your commute is. We call that time shifting in the industry, and we have thousands doing that now and appreciate it. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at prattontexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Let's start with this story that was coming out yesterday in the media. I think WFAA picked up on it from a letter that was out from the Texas Juvenile Justice Department that runs our juvenile prison systems. The TJJD, how about that, confirmed to WFAA on Thursday, yesterday, that the state's juvenile detention facilities have stopped taking in youth due to critical staffing shortages. They've paused intake, and they started that last week. Took a while to leak out. In a letter from the interim executive director to the facility chiefs, would that be the juvenile prison wardens. We just can't call them that anymore or call them prisons. The department said all five states secure. I love all this bureaucracy. All five state secure facilities. Okay. So all five state GV jails or prisons are implementing various variations of their emergency ops planning. They said staffing problems so severe it could lead to an inability to provide even basic supervision for youth locked in their rooms. And they reported WFAA as of May, the population hovered around 570 utes, one of the lowest levels in the last decade. How about that? A department spokesman told the TV station yesterday that there were 140 committed youth on the wait list to get to the juvenile prisons. Oh, excuse me, all five state secure facilities. Sunset Commission said that TJJD had a 71% turnover rate in fiscal year 2021. That is, unlike the school thing I covered earlier this week, that is an extremely high turnover rate. Now, they've already enacted a 15% pay increase for all direct care staff, and they're going to ask for more and that kind of thing. And then, of course, when you end up in a downturn economy, these type of jobs are highly sought by a lot of people, and then you're overpaying. It's kind of difficult to deal with. But that's one problem out there. That agency, no matter what we do to it, is always dealing with troubles. I wanted to say rest in peace to Ty Cook, former Lubbock councilman from 92 to 2003, and he served as mayor pro tem from 96 to 2000. He died at the age of 77 at home, and Ty was a good man. He was part of the ownership at Fields and Company. You folks in Lubbock remember the great, great company there, Dan Law and all those people. Ty was... We crossed swords a little bit over some of the West Texas Municipal Power Association. A lot of that stuff was not good. The early attempts to build a low-cost gas turbine generator, But I will tell you something about Ty Cook. Ty Cook, if you look at his resume, looks like a civic cheerleader extraordinaire. But here's the difference. I never put Ty Cook in that category because Ty was a serious businessman and, frankly, he was a conservative. Some decisions may not have panned out, but Ty Cook really did serve his community in every kind of way you can imagine. And it was real service. Ty's not one of these guys that showed up at the meetings and that was all he did. No, he's a guy that went home and financially he had the wherewithal to do that in those years. But he studied, and I respected him a lot. And Ty survived by his family. They have children, his wife, Judy, and he's passed away. It's sad to lose him. He was a very, very smart man, and I have to say it was he was a listener of the show. And I'll tell you, when the dirty deeds were done to us by those folks at that other company that's based in New York, the Town Square Media outfit, when they just simply, with no notice and, you know, contract in place, just took away my affiliates for my network. Never would tell us why. Never. Now, you may have heard from ignorant employees around saying, so they're just repeating what they've been told. There are so many stories put out there, they have no idea. And by the way, they have no access to the financial data, which I did due to my contract. So, very profitable program, extremely so. Top billing per hour probably for years in the station. It doesn't matter. I just want you to know that one of the interesting things about people you hear from when things happen to you, a good friend of Ty's said, man, Ty's really upset. He listens to the show all the time. He just can't believe what they did to you. And, you know, it's always surprising. There was a former city manager that was one of the first people to call me at home and really talk to me. And this is somebody that, you know, there are different types of people who get into political or public service office. There are those who just shouldn't be there because they can't take it. And then there are people like former Senator Robert Duncan or Ty Cook or other people who understand criticism's part of the job. And on balance, they respect intelligent criticism, and they don't get all personally mad about it. And, you know, there are times I was very critical of Ty Cook on certain things that deserved it, the West Texas Municipal Power Association, some other things. But, you know, he was a big listener of the show and fan of the show, and that's the kind of people you need, people who can – look, you're not dealing with good people in office, and we've had some. I mean, they get – look, I'm just telling you. I'm going to tell you straightforward. Governor Abbott is an absolute thin-skinned baby when it comes to any kind of real criticism. His staff reacts to that. That's how it's set up. They run a little castle with the moat around it over there. And if you're somebody that'll carry their water and not ask the too hard of a question, all that, they'll pat you on the head and make you look real good. And I know a lot of people that, well, that's normal. No, it isn't. Really good. There are people that I have beat the heck out of, but always fairly. And they will tell me privately, Robert, everything you said is fair. I don't agree with you, but it's fair. And they always knew I would let them to come on and talk about it, give their side, whether they, you know, sometimes didn't want to, it's a strategic decision or not. And that goes all the way up to the governor and U.S. senators and congressmen. There are others that just can't take it. And this is a real problem in politics. Those kind of people should not be in any kind of public office because it's inherently subject to criticism. And maybe unfair criticism bothers us all, but, you know, even outside the public eye, we all deal with that. There are rumor mongers, people that say things about you and all of that. And I just, this Governor Abbott, this is a real problem with Governor Abbott. Now, I don't think the public really understands how big of a problem it is. And by the way, how much it's hurt his ability to deal with the legislature. But, we're running out of time. Back in a moment.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
My entire trip, hotels, food, transport, and fun for both Isabel and me to Dental Care's Dr. Sylvia Zuniga in Costa Rica cost us less than half my lowest dental work quote at home. I'm not alone in learning how much of a do-not-miss opportunity this is. A farmer from Crosby County had dental work needs that would have cost $25,000 here. He went to Dr. Zuniga at Dental Care, a cosmetic dental specialist, by the way, and had all 28 of his teeth crowned, each shaped uniquely for him, and two root canals he needed, all for under $10,000. He had a great time, went to the Pacific Side beaches for a few days too, and his total hotel bill for the entire trip was under $1,000. Costa Rica is one of the hottest tourist destinations in the world. It's very safe, very easy to get around in, and not expensive to fly to from Texas, including on Southwest. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a man so important other talk show hosts listen to his show even while they're on the air. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. A little update on the Uvalde massacre. The Texan reports that after an absence from the initial slate of officials giving testimony to the closed-door serious House Investigative Committee on the elementary school shooting there, Sheriff Ruben Nolasco has agreed to appear. On Wednesday, State Rep. Dustin Burroughs, chairman of the committee, released a statement about Sheriff Nolasco's absence. He said, on June 9th, 36 individuals, 17 civilians, 19 members of law enforcement. By the way, Chairman Burroughs, civilians include all of us, including law enforcement. And I know some people think, what's that's a nitpick? It is not. It is fundamental to the founding of this country. It is fundamental. The only people who are not civilians are people subject to the code of military justice, people in the military. And this was the big thing about not having a standing military within the country, that all enforcement of laws and stuff is done by civilian agencies, civilians, not a separate military with its own courts and rules. This is central. They're all civilians, and learn it, people. Anyway, 17 civilians, 19 members of law enforcement have provided voluntary sworn testimony to the investigative committee. Unfortunately, the committee's been forced to send a notice of deposition to Sheriff Nolasco, who has thus far refused to testify. But yesterday, Burroughs tweeted, I received a phone call from Uvalde Sheriff Ruben Nolasco. He's agreed to appear at Monday's committee hearing. Appreciate him coming in voluntarily. The body will convene Monday, the 11th of July at 9 a.m. And I believe this meeting's back in Austin. Also, there was a piece out there, request by, State Rep. Chairman Burroughs asked the Department of Public Safety to release the entire 77-minute hallway video from the shooting, and he sent a letter of his request yesterday. They may do that. I really, to the committee, it'd be fine. I think in all reality, none of this stuff, I'm not with my fellow, I'm all about press, but freedom, but you know, find it your own way. But I think we need to get these investigations actually done before we hand out everything. That we're not going to be saving lives by releasing this stuff. It's just, I don't know, just like I said yesterday, it's a bit unseemly. All right, I will talk about the assassination of the former Japanese prime minister in a moment. Let's get to the rotary rig count out today from Baker Hughes. The U.S. drilling rig count went up by 2 to 752. There are 927 total in North America, which they define as the Gulf and Canada and U.S. They don't include Mexico's domestic territory in that for some reason. Texas rig count went up by only 1 to 361 after I think it fell 2 last week. So there you have it, Permian increased by 1. There was another story related to this that you probably won't hear talked about much on the regular, this, you know, the old liberal news networks. Tim Pierce writing at thedailywire.com, really picking up on a story I think that was broken in maybe the Washington Free Beacon, yeah. In March, the Energy Department, Biden's Energy Department, the DOE, announced it was releasing 30 million barrels of our Strategic Petroleum Reserve. This is our emergency reserve in case of war. The emergency sale, as they called it, was conducted to, quote, provide a wartime bridge that will provide support, that will support American consumers and the global economy in response to Putin's war choice against Ukraine, whatever. I don't know how that relates. The DOE got 126 bids. The department chose 12 to receive a portion of that 30 million barrels of our strategic reserve. One of those companies was UNIPEC America, and it was chosen to get almost a million barrels of crude oil in the price competitive sale, as they called it. While the sale went largely unnoticed at the time, the Washington Free Beacon pointed out yesterday that UNIPEC is a branch of China Petrochemical Corp, also known as Sinopec, and controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. Sinopec has a prior history with the Bidens. In 2013, Hunter Biden co-founded the private equity firm BHR Partners. In 2015, BHR acquired a $1.7 billion stake in Sinopec Marketing. In 2017, Biden took a minority stake in BHR, purchasing a 10% stake through an LLC he solely owned called Skenetellus. Last year, an attorney for Hunter Biden told the New York Times that Hunter no longer holds any interest directly or indirectly in either BHR or this LLC. As a result, as recently as March, though, records in China's National Credit Information Publicity System showed that that LLC still retained its 10% stake in BHR. Business records in Washington, D.C. still list Hunter as the sole owner of that LLC at the time. We released a million barrels of our strategic reserve to what is, for all wants and purposes, our global economic and military enemy, to China during this time of high prices. They sold it at price competitive prices. Instead of for us to use in our market or to help Europe, they sold it to a part of Sinopec, which, of course, is tied hugely financially to the Biden family. This is just disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Now, disgusting on a whole greater scale is the assassination yesterday of Japanese Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. By the way, our own government-funded state media, NPR, the disgusting bunch of little leftist liberals that even in Lubbock and places live on taxpayer money through Texas Tech and everything else. And they sent out a tweet. They deleted it later, you know. You know, anything Trump says or a conservative says gets massive wall-to-wall coverage. They say terrible things and things that are insensitive, and then they just delete it. Here was their tweet. Former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, comma, a divisive arch-conservative and one of his nation's most powerful and influential figures, has died after being shot in a campaign speech Friday in Western Japan. Okay, why did they have to inform their audience, don't be sad about this? That's it. That's what that is, a divisive arch-conservative and one of his. Look, and they deleted it, and people beating them up online got screenshots of it. I want you to understand, this is terrible, an assassin with a homemade shotgun. So much for all the gun control. You know, Japan has among the strictest gun control in the entire planet, my friends. People have said, well, they have low gun crime, too. See, it works. No, it doesn't. They have cultural, I hate to say it this way because I like Japan, but it is a society much like China's that is racially based, ethnically based. It is extraordinarily, let's just be frank, here in modern parlance, whether that's the right word or not, if you understood Japanese society, its rules, law, everything, it's extraordinarily racist. They have extreme cultural unification there, and that's why you have low crime all the way. But by the way, nobody can own a handgun, but handgun crimes do happen. I mean, they do have shootings and things. You've got, again, the criminal classes don't care about the laws. But this guy, a former Maritime Self-Defense Forces member, told police he intended to kill Abe because he was, quote, frustrated with the former prime minister, according to NHK, the big broadcaster. This is terrible. It's one of Japan's highest profile acts of political violence since World War II. Again, one of the strictest gun control companies in the world. And the point is, you can just make it. Shinzo Abe was important to us all. And we are facing, Americans aren't very much awoken to it right now, but we are facing an enemy far greater because they set aside certain parts of Marxism to make money so they could pay for it instead of being a Potemkin village like the Soviet Union. China is intent on dominating the world, and us too. I mean, they openly talk about it, despite the fact people here don't seem to be aware of this. Abe was very important to our ability to fight back. More in a moment.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life, Health, Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Mike and Jason find and rehab good condition, good reputation work trucks that can help you and your business. Half ton all the way up to 2 ton work trucks. Mike and Jason are hands-on, finding trucks and working on them in the shop. Call them at 806-687-1115 or go to specialtytrucksoflubbock.com to get Mike or Jason's cell number. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
He thinks prairie dogs should be kept around for economic development. Hunting is big business. Now more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Yes, I'm going to get to Abbott's chest thumping over the border again. We'll get to it. It's our Lone Star story of the day. I want to talk about the assassination of Shinzo Abe in Japan again. And as I was saying at the end of the last segment, if you tuned in late, just go to the podcast. You can listen to the whole show. We are facing a global competitor far more intent and more able to dominate the West and to continue the West's own self-inflicted decline. And it's a society based on pure racism. That when they say Chinese, the Chinese leadership do not go read. Do a little reading. They're not talking about citizenship in the sense that we think of it. Their idea is Chinese is a race or ethnicity. You, in other words, the Ping has said all Chinese worldwide. And when he was talking about it, and the linguists say, oh, no, he means everybody that's Chinese ethnicity owes their loyalty to the Communist Party there. They are building the world's largest military, navy, everything else. And the whole intent is to completely dominate us. They openly discuss it, even though Americans here seem to remain completely ignorant of it, and a lot of our politicians know it, but their companies and families have been too busy profiting off of the China trade. China matters, and what's going on? Do you know what Shinzo Abe, they have a big election Sunday. He's still the leader of the conservative party, the Liberal Democratic Party, very conservative. Shinzo Abe was out electioneering, giving a speech, and he was talking about that Japan must be ready to help defend Taiwan and its independence. This man is important, was important. James Snell had a fantastic piece published at Spectator World, the U.S. version of the Spectator, which out of the U.K., the oldest political magazine in the world. The headline, Shinzo Abe was Japan's indispensable conservative. I'm not going to read it all to you, but I'm going to read lines that I bolded. Shinzo Abe, who was assassinated while electioneering, was his country's indispensable man. Prime Minister of Japan for much of this century, from 2006 to 2007 and then 2012 to 2020, Abe's stature on the world stage eclipsed that of other post-war Japanese leaders, just as his time in office surpassed them all. Outside observers of Japan who had watched Abe consolidate domestic power, develop a new economic regime, and increasingly come to personify his country in foreign capitals were left almost speechless. What will his country do now? They asked at the time. That was when he left, because he was having problems during the pandemic, and he didn't think his health, he ended up overcoming that, but he didn't think his health gave him the stamina to lead, and the world was really unbalanced when he resigned then. Well, for some that might seem an absurd question, says Snell. Japan is politically decorous and notably stable. It's not normally beholden to rancor and political violence. Abe's successors should have counted upon stable institutions and political deference to give them the chance to run the country in their own ways. Yet of the two prime ministers there have been since, neither has managed to strike out for themselves, and it goes into detail. Leader of the conservative bloc within the ruling Liberal Democratic Party, widely respected and heard on issues of security and international affairs, Abe's biographer Tobias Harris estimated that on foreign policy issues especially, Abe's bully pulpit was greater than that of the prime minister. In other words, even now. On Twitter, Harris noted that Abe was killed abruptly at the very point his power, even out of office, seemed greatest. In office, Abe combined deft management of this new power with divisiveness. He pursued an economic policy that attempted to spur Japan's flagging economy into real growth. With increasing desperation, it is still followed by his successors. At the beginning of the century, Abe was a new, vigorous conservative, a man whose politics came at least in part from his unabashed Japanese nationalism. That's why the left can't stand him. Instinctively, this might have ruffled American feathers. It certainly made Abe unpalatable in China, although there were other reasons for that. Some American observers predicted Abe's revisionist nationalism would make him incapable of a strong relationship with America. They could not have been more wrong. It was on international stage that Abe left his mark. With communist China aggrieved and increasingly aggressive, democratic Japan is a natural ally of the free world. Abe knew this and built upon it. He made sure America knew that whatever whitewashed version of history Abe subscribed to, his determination to raise his country to the level of a regional power was primarily defensive. A strengthening Japan under Abe was not an incipient empire, it was a dependable friend. Abe himself traveled incessantly and endlessly engaged foreign leaders. They grew to like and trust him. The greatest protest against Abe's time in government arose in 2015 when he pushed legislation through the national diet, allowing for something that every other country already knew and permitted, namely a law that allowed Japan's armed forces to operate overseas to defend an ally under attack. Basic reciprocity, basic international statesmanship, was controversial in Japan and caused more than 100,000 to take to the streets in protest. This is the challenge Abe faced, and within reason, because he never touched the pacifist Article 9 in Japan's post-war constitution, the political climate he transformed. Abe's time in office was unexpectedly cut short. Many of the changes he pioneered never quite emerged. But Japan is now an essential partner in the democratic world in Asia. It has transcended economic stagnation, demographic decline, and institutional pacifism to become a diplomatic and military force again, and Abe is the reason this has happened. And we don't have anyone else in that part of the world to help us that's of the size to do it. Everybody else wants to play both sides. Oh, they cozy up to America. Oh, they get frustrated with the Russians still playing around through the Chinese and the Chinese. They're all frustrated, but they don't want to be Western. In Japan, land of the rising sun in the East is Western now in its values, particularly its political, social values. And they're the only ones rich enough to truly help defend against the Chinese in Taiwan. Abe understood this. Have him assassinated was just awful. And there's a little bit on there about the gun control stuff, too. I mean, a homemade shotgun. If you want to kill somebody, you can kill somebody. There's a million ways to do it. By the way, speaking of the Chinese, Craig Miller, who has worked for the Department of Homeland Security for a decade and a half, and Derek Taylor, a former DHS agent now working as a private investigator, stand accused of accessing information about Chinese activist from a government database and providing that information to two individuals who used it to target victims. In other words, two of our DHS, Department of Homeland Security people were spying for the Chinese in this country. Just the news reporting. Several other men were also indicted in the case. Frank Louis, Matthew Zaburis, and Jason Soon, all of whom carried out the transnational repression scheme to target U.S. residents whose political views and actions are disfavored by the Communist Party of China. Soon remains at large. Liu and Zaburis were arrested in March. The aim of the plot was, as has been the case in a number of recent cases, to discredit pro-democracy Chinese dissidents living in the U.S., particularly New York, San Francisco, and Indiana. Hey, we're at war with these people, whether you know it or not. And the loss of Shinzo Abe was truly a loss for those who believe in countering the great Chinese communist thuggish juggernaut, ladies and gentlemen. So don't let this little story pass by. And for those of you who read history, as you well know, sometimes these small incidents like that, and pray this isn't the case here because it does appear it was messed up citizen. But remember, these things have led to world wars, and we don't want anything like that, but it's something to pay a lot of attention to. My friends, I will get to our story of the Lone Star story of the day in the next segment. There was a big piece out in the AP today that Sysco Food Service, by the way, I knew and had his private phone number as an acquaintance, the founder. He's now dead of Sysco Food Service. Sysco's filed a federal lawsuit against Tyson, JBS Cargill, and National Beef of price fixing. It adds to a list of suits. They probably have a strong case or they wouldn't bother suing. Back in a moment.
Keep that six shooter at your side. Fred on Texas will be right back after this.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Plan to join me for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets will be on sale soon at LubbockSportsman.com.
Make your home, office, or workshop comfortable in both hot summer and cold winter with an energy-efficient ductless AC and heating unit from Hart Heating and AC.
The True Texan Studios uber comfortable with a Hart Heating and AC installed ductless unit, and the energy efficiency as well as ease of installation made it the best upgrade I've made in years.
Stop the suffering and take it to Hart. Hart Heating and AC. Beat the heat and the cold with a ductless system. Hart. H-A-R-T Heating and AC.com.
License DACLA 1229 OE.
Farming has never been for the faint of heart, but you already know that. The faith and fortitude that brought you to the table will ensure you're here tomorrow. At Vista Bank, we can say that because we've served producers just like you for 109 years, through the Dust Bowl, the Great Depression, two world wars, and the global pandemic. One of the region's few FSA preferred lenders, maybe it's time you make your move. Vista Bank, where people always come first.
Here's a man who is proud of Texas and Texans. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We move to our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance, Allied Compliance Services. You can reach them at alliedcompliance.com. And as I said at the top, Governor Abbott puffs out his chest again on the border, but sadly, as before, it's all show and increased expense to state taxpayers to accomplish little, except maybe increase his polling numbers with the uninformed on the conservative side. This is really pretty bad. I am glad to see nationally this time more people speaking out immediately to media on the right, pointing out that, hey, we love all the rhetoric, but you really haven't done anything. Sometimes it's a little bit lonely to sit and explain all of that to people. I had this story yesterday before the show, and if you ever look at the show preview on the website, I actually mentioned it, but I didn't mention it in the show at all. In fact, what did I say yesterday? PrattOnTexas.com for the show summary. I said, I will address Governor Abbott's new take them back to the border order tomorrow, which is today. So here we go. I wanted to think about it, and I wanted to read it more carefully instead of just depend on early media reports, because so much of the media reports have been wrong on this stuff, and I can't even depend often on these gubernatorial things on the people who cover the border best, and that's Breitbart, Texas. They do a great job, but when it comes to the political side, they tend to... This is a problem with a lot of conservative-leaning media. They tend to do the same thing they criticize the liberals about, and that's be a little bit rah-rah about their guy, their team, their clan, and that's not serving anybody's interest. So sometimes I'm just a little afraid to jump on this stuff, on the obvious mainstream stories, because they're not correct, and then, or they have a slant that, you know, they leave out key facts, and then you go look at the conservative, and a lot of times it's the same thing, and that's been true with Abbott on the border the whole time. Oh, look at all he's doing. Oh, he's putting up a wall. He's doing this. Yeah, Mile. I mean, there's nothing being done that justifies $4 billion of our money. And so I decided to give it time and read this morning as much as I could and a little bit last night, although we had a, by the way, had a wonderful time. One of our dear friends took us out to, one of our longtime sponsors, took Isabel and I out to Las Brisas last night, and they made some changes. You know, they redid the bar area, more seating, because it's always full in that part, and it was fantastic. We all agreed, you know, we go there a lot. My person that took us is a foodie friend that goes to really high-end places all the time. In fact, has some big things scheduled in Chicago in a few weeks and for dining, and it was just fabulous. I have to say, the experience there is always incredible, but it was the best experience in a long time as far as absolutely every single thing perfect, including some of the best service I've ever had. And it was just great at Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse in Lubbock. And yeah, it's pretty expensive, but darn, it's worth it. I mean, when you leave just feeling that great, you don't. Anyway, we went out. So I just had to get that in because they are a longtime sponsor, and it was fantastic. If you hadn't been in a while, they've done like everybody, simplified the menu just a little bit, and some other things that are just going great. Anyway, I wanted to think about this Abbott thing, because the Republican, well, it's really funny how, it's funny, for years somebody tried to say, well, they're sending you talking orders from Empower Texans or Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, Michael Quinn, so on. We don't ever talk. It shocks other people that some of us share a basic commitment, basic set of values and viewpoint. We don't always agree, that organization or Michael and I on everything. I mean, he's guest hosted the show. I sometimes publish in their publication when I get time to bother to send them something. But today, there's a lot of great coverage of this, but the Texas scorecards, Texas Minute emails summed it up as well as I can sum it up. As pressure builds on Abbott to declare a border invasion, ... In other words, three ellipses. Last month, the Republican Party of Texas described the situation at the border as an invasion. That language, rooted in the U.S. Constitution, was also employed earlier this week by border county officials frustrated by the lawless danger posed by tens of thousands of illegal aliens entering the country. Many are questioning why Governor Greg Abbott is silent on the matter. The cause has been championed by U.S. Rep. Chip Roy for weeks. Now others in the GOP are speaking out. Fox News reports, including Representative Jody Arrington and Jim Banks and Andy Bridges, wants his state to declare an invasion. Earlier this week, Lieutenant Governor Patrick said we are being invaded. And if we're being invaded under the Constitution, I think that gives us the power to put hands on people and send them back, end quote. If history holds, the only way we're going to see Greg Abbott declare a border invasion is to have Ron DeSantis do it first. Okay, and here's a headline. Abbott doubles down on catch and release from then. Now, here's what really happened. This was I read it yesterday. After reading it all, sadly, I have to report, Abbott didn't do anything but thump his chest again and increase expense to us. On Thursday, Governor Abbott issued an executive order authorizing the Texas National Guard and the Texas Department of Public Safety to, quote, return, end quote, illegal immigrants to the border. Not the other side of the border. In other words, not deporting them. Under his new directive, illegal aliens will be released on the Texas side of the border, and despite having the opportunity to do so, he did not declare the border crisis an invasion. People said he alluded to that, but yeah, that's all. He alluded to it. In fact, there was a piece, the Texan.news, Abbott invokes U.S. Constitution's invasion provision, stopped short of ordering deportations by the state. Well, he didn't invoke. He used the word and alluded to it, but he didn't invoke the invasion provision. And this is where we often get misled on this stuff. He did not. He talked about it, but he didn't do anything with it. And part of his order references Article 1, Section 10, but it refers to past actions of his administration, including entering border security agreements with Mexican states and commencing the border wall project. Former Virginia AG Ken Cuccinelli, who, of course, was Homeland Security guy during Trump administration, is all for, you know, he's like me, wants this to be real, but it's not. And he, along with, he commented on the order, along with Russ Vaught, president of the Center for Renewing America, quote, "We acknowledge Governor Abbott's recognition that the facts on the ground along the border comport with the Constitution's understanding of an invasion. However, the governor does not appear to formally declare an invasion, nor direct the National Guard and DPS to remove illegals across the border directly to Mexico. That is critical. Otherwise, this is still catch and release." I like that other headline. Abbott doubles down on catch and release. Looking at the mainstream media border report from NextStar stations, under Abbott's executive order, the Texas National Guard and DPS are authorized to, quote, respond to this illegal immigration by apprehending immigrants who cross the border between ports of entry or commit other violations of federal law and return those illegal immigrants to the border at a port of entry. They point out we've already spent $4 billion. They say it's unclear how the handoffs will take place because they went and interviewed people at some of these bridges and stuff. They, I don't know. Here's the point. I've been telling you the real fact is all we do is help people up out of the river safely. And then we gather them together and hold them in safety for the Border Patrol to come get them, catch and release. I've been telling you that. That's the point why Cuccinelli and others have pointed out this is just more. Because now, now we've added, once again, just like all the rest of it, we've added another expense for the Texas taxpayer. Now we're going to round them up. So now we have to have proper transportation with security and everything else and take these big groups of people. And at tax state taxpayer expense, instead of letting the feds do it, now we're going to travel them because they cross way away from border crossings a lot. We're going to take them, and we have to do so securely and humanely and all of that, back to ports of entry. So the governor has done nothing here except increase the expense to Texans. They cannot make them go out of the country, can't do anything. It's still handing them over to the feds for catch and release. Boo on you, Governor Abbott. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Have a great weekend. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.